What's going on, people? Welcome back to the Baby Father Podcast for another brand new episode. You've got myself, DJ Riddler from Live Links, and I want to thank everybody who's been supporting the channel. Please make sure you like, subscribe, and share, and press that notification button. So anytime a new video comes up, you're going to be the first to get it, all right? Now, today, on today's show, I have another special guest. He goes by the name of James. How you doing, James?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad.
That's good, bro. Listen, I need to relax.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because this is what happens. Every time a father comes on this podcast, they get nervous. All right. So just relax.
Yeah.
Remember, anything what you say today is your truth.
Yeah.
And your experience. All right. So just follow what you've gone through and you'll be fine. All right.
No, of course. Of course.
All right, bro. So let's start, man. Yeah.
So basically, a couple of, well, yeah, I started dating the mother of my children. I've got two kids with.
Okay.
Back in 2013, and we split up in 2018. And then when we split up, I said to her, "Could we come to some sort of arrangement in me seeing the children?" Because for the last year of the relationship, from 2017 to 2018. I wasn't really involved in with her, like, sort of, like, fell out of love with her because she was quite controlling.
Yeah.
So she used to, like, control me and, like, at the time I couldn't see it, but I wasn't really allowed to do anything with my kids. But at the time, like, you're blinded, innit? You can't really see it. So obviously I was blinded by it. And then for the last year, 2017 to 2018, I was only there solely for the kids because I couldn't leave my kids because I love my kids. Do you know what I mean? And then I was speaking to my mum and dad about it, and they said, "Look, you can always start again." Do you know what I mean? Like, it's all right. Like, not everyone can work out. You know, they could obviously see something was going on. So when I decided that it was time for me to leave, I said to her, "Look, would it be possible if we could come up with some arrangement to schedule to for me to see the children?
Co-parent."
My mum was with me at the time. I brought my mum along when I was getting my stuff. She turned around and said to me, "No, you're never seeing these kids. The only way you're going to see these kids is in a contact centre." So even my mum, like, was shocked, and my mum didn't say anything, innit, because obviously it's between me and her.
Of course.
So I left it for a couple of days, messaged her. I said to her, "Look, is there any way we can sort this out? Like, we're both adults. Like, it just hasn't worked out. I want to be a part of the kids' lives as much as you do. Can we please, like, come to some sort of agreement, an arrangement in me having access to the children?" Still no stance, nothing. So from December 18 up until June 19, I was still visiting the kids at their home. And I'd bring my mother along because she wouldn't allow me to have them on my own.
Okay.
So I'd still bring the kids, still go and see the kids with my mum. I'd go there twice a week, spend a couple of hours visiting them, bringing them toys and stuff, hoping she would change her stance and hopefully she would see that I am a good dad, I'm capable, and I can be left alone with the kids to take them out and stuff. That didn't happen. So in April 2019, I decided that she wasn't budging because there was no movement in me having access. So I said, okay, I went for court and they said, right, you have to go through mediation first. So
let me just stop you there before we even get into that part.
Yeah.
Because I want to kind of go back just a tiny bit. What was her reasons for you not allowing, for her, for stopping you from seeing the kids?
She said that I'm not capable, responsible in being a dad, and there's been no reason for me not to, because I've never been allowed to do that. So for her to say that, you know, is just unbearable. So April 2019, we went to mediation, and during that time, I was nervous because I didn't know what to expect. I've never been to anything like this, so I went.
It's all new to you.
Yes, yeah. So I went to mediation. She refused to come into the room. The mediator said she refuses to come into the same room as you. She didn't want...
Is this because you broke up with her?
I don't know what her reasons were.
Yeah.
But during this time, I was still visiting with my mum, seeing the kids. But she refused to come into the same room as me. And she listed all these things that she said she doesn't want. She said she doesn't want to come into the room and that I'll never see the kids. So the lady even said, the mediator even said to me, look, you're going to have to go to court. This is going to have to be resolved in court because she's not budging.
Of course.
So I was like, okay. So June come along, I put in my C100 form to the court for access.
And how did you go about doing that?
Charting arrangements order. So first of all, I went to a citizen advice bureau to speak to them about how about going about.
And that's free.
Yeah,
that's free.
Okay. And they said, right, this is what you need to do. So I had done the legitimate steps, got my C100, put it into the court. I had to pay for that... So I paid for that. That come through, and then in August, I got her response. And when I got her response, in July, I got her response. We had to go to court in August.
Okay.
The response was just just horrible.
When she responded, when she gives you the response, she actually writes.
Yeah, so she wrote in her response, like, why she doesn't want me to see the kids.
Okay.
And all of these things, like, allegations.
So can you say what it was, or...?
So I don't want to go too deep into it, but the allegations weren't very pleasant.
Okay.
Weren't very pleasant. Like, I work in education.
Yeah.
I've worked in education for, like, 20-plus years.
Okay.
You know, and... The allegation she made about me, I could have easily have lost my job.
Okay, you know? So we can know what kind of things she was saying then for you to be going through down that road.
And that caused me a lot of stress.
Of course it would.
So after that, I got a response. Then in August, we went to court. Mm. The woman asked for a screen to be put between us in court.
Yeah.
Yeah, playing the victim, asked for a screen to be put up. So the screen was put up. Obviously they have to go off, the first court hearing is that they have to go off what they see, because they don't know anyone, so they're just reading what they read.
So when you went to court, did you have a solicitor or did you represent yourself?
No, so I represented myself because it was the first hearing.
Okay.
So we both went there and they looked at the allegations, they looked at the everything that was said between both parties, and they said, right, I wasn't allowed to have any direct contact with my children. Mm. All contact had to be indirect, so I was only allowed to write them a letter once a month.
To your kids, right?
Yeah, to my kids. I wasn't allowed to see them, I wasn't allowed to FaceTime, nothing.
So the court went against you the first time when you went there?
Yeah, so they said, because of these allegations, we need to investigate these allegations, you're not allowed to have any direct contact with your children whatsoever. So this was in the August. Okay, so from the August now, until the March 2020, I had no
access
to my children. I can only write them a letter once a month, on top of having to pay child maintenance.
So, right. I think, to stop you there, I think this is what pisses off a lot of fathers.
So, I had to deal with that. So, I missed my eldest child's birthday. Wrote him a card, obviously, with a letter. I missed that. That was quite hard.
How old was he turning at the time?
He was turning 5.
Okay, at the time, still he
was
young.
5, yeah. And my younger son was 3 at the time as well. So, up until that point, I wasn't allowed any contact with the kids. Mm. No direct contact. We had to go to, in October, I had to go through an organisation called CAFCAS.
Okay, yeah.
Right. And CAFCAS are like social workers. So we went, I went to have an interview with the CAFCAS officer who was investigating our case. Mm-hmm. And I told her exactly how I felt and that the kids are fine around me and that mum's just controlling. She won't let them be around me. She just wants me to
suffer.
To suffer and leave. I didn't put this in. She's 12 years older than me.
Okay.
So she's a lot older than me.
So this is where the control comes from.
Yeah.
Okay.
And at the time, I didn't like.
So what age are you not meet then? So what age was you at the time when you met her?
I was 28. 28.
So she was 40. She was
39, turning 40. 40,
okay.
Turning 40.
Okay.
Because we actually worked in the same establishment.
Okay, same, that's how you met.
The same establishment. As I said, I work in education. Yeah, we worked in the same establishment. I moved on to a new establishment, and I was still going back to my previous establishment to do an activity. And at the time, like, I didn't know that she liked me, and obviously things progressed, and the red flags, when I look back at it now and I think the red flags, I think to myself, like, when we went out on a few dates, she used to talk about having children because she's got an older son.
Okay.
And her older son didn't really have
a relationship with the dad,
with his dad, and I always wondered why.
You never asked?
I did have the conversation, but it's not my sort of place to get involved. Do you know what I mean? I did say, like, you know, and she said, she used to say, oh, he comes and goes, like, he's not really interested, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But then we went through mediation, and then, yeah, the CAFCAS officer. Mm-hmm. So I had to go through a CAFCAS officer. So I went through that. I felt like it was one-sided.
On her side.
On the CAFCAS officer's side at the time, mm-hmm. at the time, because they interviewed my ex-partner and the kids as well. Mm-hmm. And they're supposed to interview the kids alone.
Yeah.
But when I got the report through about the meetings with both me and my ex-partner and the kids, in the reports, it said that she didn't want to leave the kids alone with the CAFCAS officer because the kids were not well and they didn't want to leave her. Hmm. And this is another sign of her control. She needs to be in control all the time. She
has to be.
There. She wouldn't even allow the kids 5 minutes with the social worker for the social worker to ask them about me.
But then if that happened, shouldn't it not then postpone it to another day when they can do that?
This is when I got my solicitor and I wasn't happy with the way things were proceeding. Hmm. And she said, well, we can ask for another one, but that's just going to delay even more.
Okay.
So it progressed. So after that, so that was in October. So in the March 2020, I was supposed to have 6 supervised contact visits with my children in a contact center for them to see. So basically someone sits in the corner, watches you interact with your children and writes down notes to say, oh, are these allegations true that the other partner,
other partners.
So I had one contact on my youngest son's 4th birthday, right? And then COVID-19 struck.
Yeah. And I mess up a lot of fathers. Yeah. That did mess up a lot of fathers.
So I hadn't seen my kids from the August until the March. Mm-hmm. August 2019 until the March 2020, right?
So how many months is that? Was that 8 months if I'm right?
8 months. Yeah. I have no contact with my kids, right? I finally get a contact, right? Mm. I remember going into the contact center. I got there early because obviously it was my son's birthday. I wanted to set up the room, make it really special. I hadn't seen him in a long time. She was outside. My eldest son ran to her when he saw me crying. I thought, okay, they haven't seen me for a long time. The woman that was watching said to me, sir, because they haven't seen you for a long time, the session's 2 hours. Mm. They might not stay for the whole 2 hours. They might only stay for an hour. I was like, okay, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
After a while, they came in. I was a bit tearful at the start. Gave them a cuddle. Within 10 minutes, they was fine.
So they warmed to you, basically.
They warmed to me. Yeah. They stayed for the whole 2 hours.
Well done.
Perfect session.
Yeah.
Then, obviously, COVID-19 hit. Then the sessions didn't start up again until the following September. So from March now till September.
Yeah, you have to restart it going again.
And this time it was at a different contact centre. It was a bit further up from where we both were. The 6 sessions went perfectly.
Well done.
Absolutely run like a dream. Kids were fine. Got my report. Mm. The report was fine. The report was perfect.
It's good to hear.
Nothing wrong. Report was perfect. Then after you have your 6 sessions with the social worker who writes your report, you have a next steps meeting.
Okay.
So both parents have a consultation on where they think they can go next on the report that's been written, right? Yeah. So the lady said, all these allegations you've written, I don't see any of these things. I've not seen any of these things. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, the kids are fine. There's no problem around their dad. They're absolutely fine. She turned around, my ex-partner turned around and said, I have a complaint.
So put another delay again.
The lady was like, what's your complaint? She said, Mr. such and such, speaking about myself, was too early for one of the contact sessions.
So
turned up too early. That was her complaint.
Okay.
Because she couldn't actually complain about anything else, she actually complained that I was too early for one of the sessions.
All right, so if you're early for a session, what's the problem in that?
Nothing. The woman didn't see a problem with that.
Yeah.
And because it was done, the consultation was being done via the computer, the woman who was facilitating the meeting said, right, I'm not going to get into this because I can see where this is going. This is going to turn into an
silly
argument.
It's just silly, yeah.
So I'm going to speak to you individually. So then when she spoke to me, she said to me, look, mister, I don't have any problems. You was perfect. Your report's going to reflect that. It was fine. Mm. You was fine. Like, the kids are fine around you. I've got no issues, no safeguarding issues, nothing. She didn't like that, obviously. So this was in the run up to Christmas. So my last contact session finished in the end of November.
Okay.
So I said to my solicitor, can you write her a letter asking her, would it be possible for me to have the kids at my house for like 2-3 hours just before Christmas?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I can give them their presents and they can see their grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
Because at this time they hadn't seen their grandparents.
So everything's been cut off.
Yeah, they hadn't seen their grandparents for near enough a year. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Over a year. And obviously in that time, there's been no contact with, only through me. You know, obviously I write them letters and I draw pictures of their grandparents and stuff, but it's not the same.
Of course.
I had the report. I said, the report is good. Like, you, that, can we move forward?
Mm.
She turned around and said, no, the only way you're going to see these kids still is in a contact centre.
So every time you go into the contact centre, you have to keep on paying to go there?
No, so the 6 sessions was paid for by CAFCAS.
Okay.
They paid for the 6.
Yeah.
But this extra one that I had to pay for because she wouldn't allow them to come to my house before Christmas, she said I had to see them in a contact centre before Christmas.
Mm.
So I had to pay
to do that one.
To see them with my parents before Christmas
in a
contact centre.
And just to go back to when you say that they pay for you, how do you go about it for them to pay for you?
So when you go to court, it's discussed in court, and like, it's in the report that's come from the court. It said, look, the social worker at CAFCAS will pay for your your 6 supervised contact sessions will be facilitated and paid for by CAFCAS.
Okay,
so that was the case. So we done that.
Oh, that's good.
And then the one where she wouldn't allow me to see my children before Christmas.
That's
at
on
my
the
house.
Seventh one.
Yeah.
So you
I had to pay for that, right? Obviously, it's my children. You know, money's not an option. You know, it's my kids. So I have to do what I have to do. But the fact that the report come back excellent, counterclaimed all your allegations. The woman who was watching it had no concerns whatsoever.
Mm.
And you still want to turn around and say you're still going to see these kids in a contact centre.
I think she's just being bitter, and I don't think she's actually realising the long-term effect she's causing to the kids.
She doesn't.
Yeah.
So I had to pay to see my own kids in a contact centre with my parents. It went fine. It had to be supervised as well. She ordered it. She wanted it to be supervised.
So is she moving so bitter because she wants to get back with you, or...
No. Do you know what it is? I'll tell you the truth. She is a controlling, manipulative lady who used me just to get pregnant. Because once our second child was born, I just saw a change in her.
What's the age group between the two of your kids?
16 months.
Oh, well, okay.
16 months. Yeah. So, it's quite close.
Very
quite close in age. But once our second child was born, I just saw completely... turn around in her.
Yeah.
It was just like, well, I don't really care if you're here or not.
And how long were you not together before you had the first one?
Oh. It wasn't very long.
No, we're saying weeks.
It wasn't weeks. It wasn't very long.
A couple of months, three months?
It was probably about 8 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
8 months.
So you're still getting to know her, yeah, but
you
just...
But you live and learn, innit? You know, I've learned my lesson now. Obviously, I've got 2 kids.
From that.
I'm blessed with 2 kids, you know what I mean? But at the time, I knew what she was after. Now I look back at it, she just... biological clock was running out.
Yeah.
And she thought, right, young meat there. I know, I don't look young, but, you know, you know. Let's just see what happens with him, and hopefully he'll piss off like my other child's dad. And the Christmas contact before Christmas, the lady supervising was the same lady who supervised me for my 6 ones, my 6 sessions. She wrote another lovely report, said that my parents are fine, blah blah blah, the kids are fine. She made some very serious allegations about my parents. My parents are foster carers for vulnerable children. She made such allegations that 4 social workers turned up at my parents' house to investigate, and they found no wrongdoing whatsoever. That was brought up in the 3rd court hearing by the judge. And the judge really ripped into her and said, you can't make allegations like that. You can't say stuff like that.
So why does she feel that she can just go around and just say things like it's nothing?
Because she thought that if she said things like that, she was hoping that I would just give up. That's what she was hoping for.
Yeah.
She was hoping I'd just give up and think, do you know what? I can't be bothered with this. This is too stressful. But with the family of my, with the support of my family and my friends around me, like, a lot of it was stressful, but with their support, I got through it.
Okay.
You know, I got through it because some of these things she said about me were so bad that it would like she wanted a reaction. And because there'd been no domestic violence, because I'm not a violent person, I don't tolerate violence. I'm not involved in that sort of life. You know, she was pushing for that. Every allegation she made about me or my family, she wanted a reaction. Like the fact that she could bring up 2 vulnerable children that live with my family members and say that they're being, do you know what I mean, such and such.
Yeah.
It's just atrocious. And the fact that 4 social workers turned up and said that there's no wrongdoing here, the kids are fine, blah, blah, blah. And it got brought up in court. And my barrister, with the judge, got onto her about that.
Can I just ask you, what culture is she?
She's English, white English.
Okay.
Yeah. And they got onto her about that, and she started crying in the courtroom. And this was at, we've been to court 5 times, and this was at the 3rd court hearing. So after the final supervised visit before Christmas, we had a court hearing in the January 2021. We had a court hearing, and the judge said, look, he's done nothing wrong, the report is fine. My barrister, my solicitor said, look, you're going to keep making allegations, okay, because you keep obstructing the contact. Let's push for a fact-finding. And a fact-finding hearing is where she has to prove what she said about me, okay? She didn't want to do that. She turned around and said, oh, no, let's just forget about it and move on. So after all that, she turned around and said, let's forget about it and move on.
Yeah.
Which wasn't sitting kindly with the judge.
Of course.
Do you know what I mean?
He's wasting everybody's time.
Do you know what I mean? He said to her, like, you can't go around making allegations about people and, do you know what I mean, getting away with it.
Of course.
You know? So he wasn't happy with that. So then, obviously, my supervised sessions, they was all perfect. So the judge was like, right, where do we move on from here? We're going to have every other weekend, they can visit their dad unsupervised. She turned around and said, no, she doesn't want that. She still wants it to be in a contact centre.
What's with her in contact centre?
She doesn't want them to be alone with me. She doesn't want me to have any enjoyment with my kids.
All right, so you know? When you were together, would you like to take your kids by yourself? So you've never allowed to have your kids by yourself?
Nothing at all. And this is what woke me up to it. Because when I was with her, I thought, maybe she's just one of these mums that are just clingy. A bit clingy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then when it got to the point where I wasn't even allowed to pick my kids up from school and nursery, that's when I spoke to my mum and said, no, something's not right here, you know. But
do you think she's experienced something in her past, previous life for her to be so overprotective of her
kids. I don't know if there's an underlying issue. I don't know. But I know that I just couldn't take it anymore and I had to do something about it. And that's why I pursued it through the courts, because this woman was not budging. Even when we split up in the 8 months where I was still visiting the kids, I was hoping she would change her stance and think, do you know what? Yeah, maybe he can. You know, I tried to give her an opportunity, but she still wasn't budging.
Yeah.
So I had no other option but to go through the court.
Yeah.
And then with her allegations, she was hoping for a reaction from me so then she could say, oh, I'm going to call the police on you. But she never got that from me because I'm not that sort of person. I'm not that way inclined, you know. Yeah. I'm not a violent person. I've been brought up by my parents, lovely parents, brought me up well. I come from a very loving family, respectful family, you know. So it was never going to go that way. As much as she was pushing for it to go, it was never going to go that way.
Yeah.
So in January, we went to court and the judge said, right, unsupervised, it has to be. Like, he's done his supervised sessions. Mm-hmm. I had to go on a parenting course. Yeah, I had to go on a parenting course. I had to pay for that myself.
Yeah.
I had to do all sorts of training. Right.
Well, is this what the court told you what you need to do?
Yeah, this is what after our interview with the social workers, and she said her piece and I said my piece, they said, right, let's do this, just so we can make mum a little bit more easy.
Of course.
You know, just to ease mum's worries about. So I've done various training programs, right? Okay. All of these things. January come, we had the court. The judge said...
The fifth court, right?
Yeah, this was the fifth one.
Yeah.
The judge said, unsupervised, right? It has to be. She was still adamant. No, it's not. She doesn't want that. She doesn't want that. So the judge was like, there's no reason. His report is fine. You can't prove these allegations. We've tried... We want to go to fact-finding, okay? You can't prove it. Your allegations... There's no substance to it, you know? They're fabricated. Unsupervised. That's it. We move forward. So we went to unsupervised. Every other weekend I was having them. And then we got to our final court hearing in July. And then I remember on the day of it was a 2-day hearing. And this was by computer. I remember my barrister called me up in the morning and said to me, because during this time, she pushed for application for relocation.
Okay.
So she wanted to move to the Midlands to take my... So
out of London.
Out of London. 2.5 hours on the train. She wanted to move. Do you know what I mean? Move the kids.
Just to get away from you.
Just to get away from me. Because she knew I'd done everything. Everything that the court had asked me. All the training courses. All the supervised contact. I'd played along. I'd sung every song they'd asked me to sing. I'd done it all.
I'd done the song, I'd done the dance, the lyrics, I'd done the backflips,
I'd done the beat, I'd done everything. Do you know what I mean? I'd done everything they'd asked me to do, you know? Everything. And when she saw that I was complying and I wasn't like getting stressed and I wasn't kicking off, she thought, do you know what? I'm going to move now. I'm going to try and move so it's further. So the final court hearing was about me having a child arrangements order with the children and her being able to relocate. So it was a 2-day hearing and my barrister called me up in the morning and said to me, look, sir, I've been speaking to her barrister. Why don't you just let her relocate? Because it's more than likely she's going to get to go. Why don't you just let her relocate and then we can sort out some sort of thing? I said, well, no. Like,
of course.
I'm paying you a lot of money to fight my corner. Yeah. And when you're phoning me up in the morning and telling me I should just surrender to her.
Making his job easier for him, innit?
It makes me like, do I have any faith in you?
Yeah, 100. You know? 100.
So, like, obviously, that was a bit like...
What do
I do? So, No, I said, no, I'm still going to try and stop her going.
Well,
even if she gets to go, I'm still going to...
You're going to fight.
Put a fight up because there's no reason. Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
Okay, she's going to be close to her family, but what about me? Mm-hmm. What about my family? You know?
Yeah.
The children of mixed heritage.
But you met her down here.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't meet her up there.
Exactly. You know, she's deciding that she wants to move now. So, in the final court hearing, she spoke first. She had her say on why she wants to move and how financially better it would be for her and stuff like that. And then as a dad, you've got to think, okay, financially, okay, I can see where she's coming from. Mm. I've got to think about my kids. Mm-hmm. Okay. If it's going to be better for them financially.
And it's after the COVID as well.
Yeah.
So things can be changed.
If it's going to be better for them financially and they're going to have more money and more things to do, then, yeah, I've got to look at it from that way. But then on the other hand, I'm saying, I want to see them as much as her.
Yeah.
I want to be able to have as much as a part in their life as she has. And this is what I've been fighting for from the start. So, the judge said, okay, when I said my bit, I let loose. I did, and I thought the judge was gonna say to me, stop. But he let me run.
Yeah.
Because obviously he's seen all the paperwork and he's seen what this woman's put me through. For 2 years, obstruction after obstruction after obstruction, constantly trying to belittle me, my parent in and everything, making accusation after accusation that she can't prove because they're not true, that are fabricated because they're not true. The stress level she's put not only me, but my family through. And last but not least, the damage that she's doing to our kids.
Of course.
She's not only damaging me, but she's damaging our children.
She can't see
doing
it.
This. But she can't see it. She can only see for herself.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I want to be just as much as a part in their life as she has. And I feel I have that right. And that's what I was fighting for.
Every father has that right.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, we went through that. Yeah, the judge said, look, let me have my run. And then the social worker spoke, the woman that interviewed us both back in October, she come on and she spoke, and she said the only thing that she would change from her original report was that she would change it to joint custody.
Whoa.
So when I heard that, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you can actually see what this woman's like.
Of course.
Because when I was trying to tell you, you wasn't having none of it. It felt like you were siding with her.
Yeah.
But now you can see everything that she's done throughout these proceedings, trying to halt proceedings, trying to complain that it was too early for contact. Do you know what I mean? You can see. And then she said, you know what? They both come from different backgrounds. Both their parenting styles are different. Dad is more laid back. Mum is more a bit anxious.
Yeah.
She can see that. And that's going to happen. That is going to happen.
Both can't be bad cops.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That is going to happen in life and in parenting. You know, that's part of life.
Yeah.
So she said, look, the only thing I would change on the report is that they have equal, not just dad has visitation rights, that they have joint custody.
Yeah, yeah.
So the judge awarded that. But hold on, before I get to that, so on the second day, she wrote to me, her barrister wrote to me in the morning through my barrister and said, look, I'm proposing, because the solicitor said on the day one that she proposes joint custody, she said, look, she was literally begging me to go. She wanted that move so bad. She was like, look, I'll accept joint custody. Wow. I'll do anything. All of us start to change.
I had to change.
This is what I said when I had my run in the court, and I said, look, this woman has caused me so much heartache and so much pain with her allegations and stuff about me and my family, and now she's changing because she wants her move.
Yeah.
And even the judge said that. And the judge said, when he awarded that, so the final decision was that she could get a move, right? But I see the kids every other weekend. She brings them down every other weekend. I have half the holidays.
That's good.
And stuff like that. So we get joint care. Do you know what I mean? Which is perfect, you know? The only thing is that I'm a bit gutted about is that I won't be able to have that much of an input in the education because I won't be able to attend school meetings and stuff because obviously it's like 2.5 hours away, and with the job I do as well, I work in education, it's hard for me to get that time because they clash.
Of course.
But obviously on the weekend I play a part in their education and stuff. So when the judge awarded it, he said, look, joint lives with so equally shared custody, and he also said that my ex-partner, because of her previous
behavior,
he said, look, you're in a warning. If you do anything to jeopardize this, the kids will go to live with their dad full time. And then her barrister was trying to argue and say, look, if that's the case for her, why can't it be for him, for me?
Yeah.
And the judge was like, well, no, he's not done anything wrong.
Yeah.
He's sung every song, he's danced every dance. You know what I mean? He's done everything he's supposed to do.
In his power, he's done everything that's been done by the book.
And this is what I'm saying. Like, I was a bit nervous about what judge I was going to get. But the judge actually surprised me. He actually read through all the paperwork and thought to myself, do you know what? this gentleman's been through a lot.
Mm.
He's been through, this woman's put him through a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Tried to get reactions from him with what she said, tried to do, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And he's seen that. And it's good that you still have people out there with common sense that can see that. Like, everyone I spoke to about it, at work and like close circle of friends, they said, look, anyone with common sense can see what's going to happen.
Of course.
Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
So like, when it was awarded, I was just relieved. Like, 2 years of heartache, like, of, do you know what I mean? Two years of stress.
So, you know? When you wasn't seeing your kids forever, you were talking about heartache and stress. Like, what kind of things goes through your head?
You just think, like, obviously, you just think, like, when's it gonna happen? Like, every court case you go to, you think, hopefully, this is the last one. Hopefully, this is the last one.
Yeah.
Like, and it just dragged. It just dragged for 2 years. And obviously, you can't control COVID. COVID happened.
Yeah, yeah.
It's halted everything. Everyone's life got halted.
100,
like,
100.
People lost loved ones, and and I respect that and stuff like that. But then you just think to yourself, like, I've got a friend at work who went through a similar thing, and he spoke to me and he said to me, look, at the end of the day, you're going to get what you want. It's going to take time, but you will get there. Trust me, I went through the same thing. You're not criminal, you work in a school, you've done nothing wrong, you'll get there, they'll see. And by almighty, I did, you know.
But
what I mean?
But you know, like, when they make these allegations and they say you've done this and that, and also you know you haven't, does it start playing on your mind with, like, the things what they turn and
do you
say?
You know what, it's a thing where you think to yourself, you know what, let them do their job, let them investigate.
Yeah.
Because there's no proof of it.
Yeah.
That's why you have the supervised contact sessions. That's why you have someone watching you. Because she says, the kids are scared of me. The kids are this, the kids are that. That's why you have someone in the room watching you.
Mm.
Watching you interact with your children. And that's why the report was 100% perfect.
Yeah.
You know, and even the fact that she said to me, she said when my children were being interviewed by the social worker, in the report that was written by the social worker, the social worker said that my eldest child said back, I forgot what mummy told me to say.
So he's obviously being coached.
Yeah.
Being trained to tell someone and
this is what I was saying from the start, that she controls, she tries to control and manipulate every situation.
Of course.
That's what she does. And the fact that it was written down in black and white from the social worker, that my older son said that.
So it shows you what's really going on.
And the judge saw that, the judge could see that. He had it all written down, he could see everything that had happened over the years, and he thought, you know what? You put one foot wrong, and the kids are going to live with their dad full time.
Well, listen, I wanted to say to you, it's good to hear where you're coming from today, because we do have fathers who say that they have problems.
Yeah.
When they go to court, that they've been looked down on.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't go their way.
Don't get me wrong. Like, after the first time I went to court, I felt so little. I thought, I'm not going to see my kids. Like, I'm not allowed to have any contact with them. Like, I felt really low, really low. Like, I didn't know, like, what was going to happen, how long it was going to take.
Of course.
And obviously, everything was just taking long and long. And then on top of that, you got solicitor. Every time, do you know what I mean? She phones you, it's a cost. Every time she writes a letter, it's a cost.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, all in all, do you know what the thing that really hurts me about this whole thing? Is that the fact that me and her couldn't come together as parents and just arrange something. Do you know what I mean?
And when you even say that, you're looking at that, this is the person that I lay down with.
Yeah.
You understand? So when you say this is the person that I lay down with, and this is how this person can behave after,
I know.
You're like, raw, it's like I was sleeping with the devil.
I know.
You understand?
Devil in disguise, mate. Devil in disguise. Like, I'm telling you, man, like, you just wake up to it and you just see people for what they really are. And like, the blessing was the children, but
I know, bro.
She's a nasty piece of work. I'm telling you.
I know.
Nasty.
I think a lot of man's got the badge for that. You understand? A lot of man's got the badge for that.
Pushing me for a reaction.
Mm.
Hoping. Like, all of that. She was hoping I'd go around to her house.
I wasn't doing it.
I said no.
Yeah, you're not going to get sucked in.
Yeah, I'm not going to get sucked in. That's what they want you to do.
They want you to get something and then they're going to play on that now.
Yeah.
You understand?
You know? And I wasn't doing it. You know?
But bro, listen, it hit it right on time.
No problem.
All right, so we have to wrap up.
I was going to bring you in.
If you've got anything to say, you've got literally a minute to get it off the chest, yeah?
Okay, like, all the dads out there and mums that are going through something similar, where the other parent is not really supporting you and helping you progress. I would say if you have the financial help, like backing, or if you can go through court. It's long, it's stressful, but I would say go through it, because a lot of parents, not only men but women, are using children as weapons, and this is what she was trying to do with me. So I would say strongly, I'd strongly advise you to go through the court route and just try and get access to your children, whether you're a mum or you're a dad. Like, do what you need to do, but go through the, do it legally, and don't get sucked into any of their games. Like, peace.
Well said. James, listen, I want to say thank you for sharing your story with us.
No problem, man.
And thank you for coming on today, Baby Fathers. And I hope that this can help other fathers who may be going through this or thinking of going through it, that it gives them some hope. You get me? So, yeah, bro. Thanks again.
No worries.
You get me? Thank you. Well done, soldier. For fighting. Well done, man. All right, peeps, listen, want to hear your views on today's episode. Drop it in the comments below. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and like, and press the notification button, all right? From the Baby Fathers, we're out.